the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Shack.
S-H-E-K, Shack, Shack, Shack.
Well, it's all done. Yeah, it was done the last time we spoke to you. We were 30,000 feet in the sky the day after the Super Bowl. What was it? Super Bowl 48? It's so far gone, I don't even remember what number it was. I do remember that the Seattle Seahawks won. They beat the Denver Broncos. And one of the key figures in that dominating performance, defensive end Michael Bennett, is going to be walking through the door momentarily here in the Studio 66. I have a bunch of questions ready to ask him. Meantime, there's much on the brains and on the tips of tongues of football fans and fans of pop culture, because I'm sure you heard the big story, what everyone's talking about, Bruce Jenner's transformation. No, Michael Sam announcing that he is gay, a member of Missouri, and about to go to the combine and go through all that. Let's break that down. Let's break down the mess that is the Cleveland Browns. Let's break it all down, starting off with my main man seated to my immediate right. We haven't spun in a week. I hope we remember right. How to do it. We haven't been in Studio 66 in a fortnight at least. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure,
hasn't
sure.
It been longer than a week?
I said what I said. When more than that. I said
more than a week because what was it? Like Super Bowl. It was the week of Super Bowl, right?
It's the last when we time spun? Yeah. When we were in 66? It was 3 weeks ago, I guess.
66,
right.
But yeah, from Radio Row at
What a time we had. Oh, and that reminds me. We talked to Martellus Bennett, Michael Bennett's younger brother. I'll tell you, one of the first questions I'm bringing up to him is, can you imagine the same parents named one son Michael and the other one Martellus? That's a lot of range in naming. I wonder if he's happy that he's Michael or if he wishes he were Martellus. I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah, the parents took out the 3-wood on the first tee,
yeah,
made sure they got one down the fairway.
And it's then
once they got to the next hole, they're like, oh, whatever, I'm going driver.
Very much like the creator or the namer of two fruits naming one fruit a grape and the other fruit a grapefruit. Just no creativity whatsoever, you know? But as you pointed out, Rank,
yes,
you know, that guy's probably like, that's the end of the day.
Right.
You know, it's probably Friday around 4:30 or so. The boss already took off to go play golf for the weekend. And he's like, well, I got to name this other one now. Let's just go with grapefruit. Yeah, but we already have grape. Yeah, but I already named persimmon. I'm ahead of the game, right?
I gave you a pomegranate. Like, give me a break. Like, somebody came up, like, it was the after, like, somebody probably called them over the weekend. Hey, we still got one fruit left we haven't named yet. You're like, really? What's it look like? I don't know. It's circular.
Are you close to the office?
Do we
text messages? Are you still close to the office? No, I'm pretty close to home now. Like, well, you left a fruit unnamed. Like,
and then it autocorrect. What was the last thing we did? Was it grape? And then it autocorrected to grapefruit. And he's like, yeah, just go with that.
Do that. No one's going to know.
Who cares?
It doesn't taste good anyway.
It's an afterthought.
It's way too tart for human consumption. That's what I say about the grapefruit. That's a conversation for another day. Let's say hello to the other guy in 66 right now, awaiting Michael Bennett's arrival all the way from England. Now he's here in 66. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
That was a fascinating conversation you guys just had.
Good.
Was it?
Yes.
We had a fascinating conversation 30,000 feet in the sky about a week ago.
We did. The plane cost.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on that.
Your brainchild.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't call it a brainchild. It was more, you know, a brain teenager. I don't think it was necessarily a good idea, but it turned out just great. I think we had a good time.
It was the most listened to podcast in NFL media history. Well,
the
I can imagine.
Listened in NFL history. I don't like NFL media, NFL history. I imagine next year, normally they'll put the MVP of the Super Bowl on the NFL record and fact book. But I have an inkling that there could be a picture of you sitting in a Southwest, the very back row of a plane on the front of the NFL record and fact book in 2014.
I have to commend everyone, with the possible exception of Black Tie, who really fought tooth and nail against doing
he really
it.
Did. He really,
I don't know why. Producer Black Tie behind the glass. as you look back now, you know me, you know my rule. My first rule is no jive. My other rule is, though, it's a personal one, but I'd like you to apply it to your own life. Like the late, great Jerry Orbach, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. How say you now?
Guys, I got to be honest. I turned a leaf. I turned a new leaf, guys. I like you said, I was very skeptical about the idea. And I remember when Hank had it on Twitter the night before, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I hope this doesn't blow up. But it was funny because, you know, it's like behind the scenes. As soon as the plane took off, we had ideas of thoughts of doing it on the ground in the airport, but our plane kept changing times. So as soon as the plane took off, I was like, okay, let's see how this works.
The noise Those beers in. On the ground weren't going to drink themselves.
No, right.
The noise sets in, like, you know, everyone starts falling asleep. It's like, whoa, I guess not.
Well, this is the interesting thing. It'd be nice to take people behind the curtain, because Black Tie said yes, but then immediately, as the plane went up, he basically fell asleep. And then,
fell asleep, everyone else fell asleep.
Well, but
I
out
checked.
Of the blue, you suddenly went, right, let's do it now.
Well, it was still 2-3 hours into the flight. The noise pretty much became white noise, and I started thinking, you know, it was, you know, we might have a shot at this.
Was part of your thinking the part when our collective boss, Tom Brady, not the Patriots quarterback, but our actual boss who works at NFL Media, Tom Brady, came back and he said, "Hey, what are you guys doing? You guys having fun back here?" And we said, "Yeah," except that we'd rather be doing a podcast right now. We told him the tale. And he said, "So why aren't you doing it? That's a great idea." And we said, "It's Black Tie."
Well, suddenly, it was a good idea.
Well, I mean, obviously, if Tom Brady speaks, I had to, you know. But I told him, I was like, "Hey, I'm not an audiophile, but still, like, I'd still like the podcast to sound somewhat good." Mm-hmm. I was worried about the sound quality, but I said, once we 2-3 hours into the journey, it was always white noise, and you know, and Damashek was talking in my ear too much. I'd much rather have heard Hank and DJ.
I didn't need that. There's no reason to throw a shot in my direction.
But overall, Hank, great idea. It worked out great. I had to have like 2 headphones on. It was
by tens
was
of thousands, though, was the most listened to podcast. And again, I don't know if we should be excited about that, because I wouldn't necessarily say it was our best. It wasn't exactly the Seahawks in the Super Bowl giving their best performance yet. It was a fine effort, though.
It was 33% more than the second highest episode, which that episode was recorded back in 2011. So that other episode was way up there for a while, and then this just came in, swooped right in, and took over.
I think you're going to hurt yourself if you pat yourself on the back anymore.
I'm not patting myself. I said it's your. Well, listen, we you know, it's a cause. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's a cause for celebration. I don't think that it was our greatest show ever.
No, but if we extend it, maybe the time has come for us to take it onto other forms of transport. I think there's boats, there's trains, there's hovercraft.
Ooh, a train. I didn't think about that. Train cast, because if we
I'm shutting that down now. There's no way a train. Well, it depends on what train you're using, but most trains, especially out here in the States, do not turn into white noise. They're very, very noisy.
No, they're not.
What do you think they are, choo-choos?
We're not talking about sitting up front.
If you're going from, Hank, you know, if you're going from, like, Bayswater to Maiderville, and you're going to nice, like, the newer trains on the, I think there was a Piccadilly line or whatever, mm-hmm. that might be pretty good, but a lot of the trains out here, I don't know.
I love that the leaf that was turned over 4 minutes ago has now quickly dried up, gotten crunchy, and somebody stepped on it and it shattered.
I don't remember suggesting that we were going on the London Underground in order to do this either.
With a hint of condescension, too. About amazing. Like, oh, look, I got to show off. I know the London railway system.
He doesn't know it either, but I decided not to come.
All right. Let's
take the coaster down to San Diego. That could happen
that's
tomorrow.
That's a great trip. I love that ride. What did they call that one?
The coaster.
No, but they also call it the
Pacific.
Isn't it?
Pacific,
it has some cool name. I've ridden that train once. I went down to see the ponies run at Del Mar, a decidedly Southern California experience. Oh, handsome. You'll love it. Now, listen. All right. Let's kibitz until Michael Bennett gets in here momentarily as much as we can. We'll get to the Michael Sam story and the Browns as much as we can here. And if we don't cover it properly, we'll get back to it on the other side of Bennett. And then also we're talking to our pal Move the Sticks, Daniel Jeremiah, about the Browns. He was with them for 2 years, which is exceedingly impressive given the length of the tenure of Lombardi, Banner, and Chudzinski, among others. All right, so first of all, Michael Sam, everyone's buzzing on this thing. I'm pleased for it. Some people are taking that sort of stance, Mo Damashek included. She said, I don't even understand why this is really a story. Mm-hmm. But just because it's your frame of mind doesn't make it everybody else's. Of course, there are people in this country. It shouldn't shock anybody that there are people who are backwards and say, I don't want him staring at me in the shower. I wouldn't want that. This is bad for our sport. So on and so forth. Rank, how say you?
I yearn to be stared at by both orientations. I don't
done
be,
and done.
I don't want to be discerning. Part of me applauds the young man for coming out, for taking a stance, for being able to do to just say who he is, you know. And of course this is an issue that's close to me because my sister is gay. So of course I'm going to have a little bit more of a personal stake in this story from that way, but also I see the point of, you know what, I want to get to the point of our society where this is no longer a story, where this is no longer something that really needs to be discussed. You know, now it seems like we've had other famous, I hate to put professional wrestling in this class because I understand it's not a true professional sport, but they had one of their performers come out.
Or really true anything.
Well, yeah, no, and I understand, but they cater to an audience that's pretty much.
Yes.
Would not be the kind that would embrace somebody like that. So I feel good that we're starting.
Ironic, given the outfits that the competitors
wear. Yeah, but they're wearing.
But anyway.
It's very true. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle. But overall, you know, I do admire a lot of the guys on Twitter, and I know Dante Stallworth came out on Monday and really just lit it up on his timeline, and I was retweeting it, and I got to the point to where I'm like, you know what? Just go read his timeline. I'm not going to sit here and retweet everything that he's saying. But really was spot on in talking about the organizations. And he went through, like, when you compare the Patriots to the Dolphins imploded right after their scandal came out. And the New England Patriots had to battle through a number of things, including Tim Tebow, including everything that went down with Aaron Hernandez. And they still made it to the AFC Championship game.
Well, you know, the notion, one of the great excuses that that the naysayers have had for a number of years is, well, this wouldn't go. This wouldn't fly in a football locker room. Mm-hmm. And now it's been taken away by the Missouri Tiger locker room. He tells them last summer at some point that he's gay, and apparently, according to him at least, they already knew, but then he announced it in the group to the team, and the reaction was zero. You know, there was no public announcement. Missouri, for what it's worth, went on to have a great year and everything. They came out of the blue. Clearly, the locker room did not implode as a result of this announcement, and so that excuse has been taken away.
But that's true because a lot of times if you talk to, and I'll use this as a personal story too, is when my sister came out, it's very, like, it's a big thing for them, and it's very purifying, I guess, or liberating to come out and be able to tell somebody and share. But the majority of the time, everybody already knows. Like, it's not a...
That's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, okay. We kind of figured.
Like, yeah, I suppose so. And maybe their teammates know, but I do think that... I mean, clearly, I think you'd have to be naive to think there's no one gay in the NFL right now.
Right.
I mean, surely there are. But the only thing that does... the reversal, the speed with which society has transitioned from this being an issue. I mean, it was 15 or 20 years ago where it was... You know, there was a... I would say... a big majority that was homophobic, and it was acceptable to announce that in a jokey fashion, at least. I'm not getting up on Mount Pius. I like my jokes about all manner of human beings. I see no race. Well, I do see those things, and I like to celebrate those differences and also joke on those differences.
Of course.
But anyway, the only people now, like I say, society has now flipped a new leaf. Sort of like black tie, but I feel like it was legitimate, unlike black tie's reversal. That now, if you're Jonathan Vilma or Patrick Creighton, they're quickly in backup mode now. They came out and said some bad some things that were vaguely homophobic, and they've backtracked ever since, saying that's not what I meant. Prepared statements and everything else. The only people that are objectified by this, they marginalize themselves with this. It's not Michael Sam, Handsome Hank. How say you?
Well, I think we've talked about this with a number of issues over the last couple of years. Is that every NFL locker room is going to be a cross section of society, and you're going to find on whatever the issue is, going to be people who don't like it, people who do like it, people who are accepting, people who aren't. And an NFL locker room isn't going to be any more or less extreme, I don't think, than anywhere else in the world. So it shouldn't surprise us that there are some people who are against it, but then are also willing to come out and say that, and in the process kind of make themselves look a little stupid and then have to backtrack. I think the thing that's really interesting, though, because you, as you just said, we can't possibly be thinking, right, Michael Sam's going to be the only gay player in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. There are going to be players, you know, and again, to your point, Adam, that are in the NFL right now that are gay, and their teammates are perfectly well aware that they're gay. And I think the interesting and impressive thing about the NFL locker room and the sort of brotherhood of players and everything is that it isn't enough of an issue that there are players talking about this, that, you know, hey, my teammate player X is gay, but you never hear about that stuff. I think, you know, within the last month, there was a story about the Oilers, I think, back in the, you know, 10, 15 years ago, who had a couple of gay players on the team. Mm-hmm. Wasn't an issue then. And I don't think it will be now.
Yeah, and everybody knew about it. And you just, after a while, you kind of forget about it. Like, you don't really identify somebody as that way. Now, of course, obviously, with my sister, it's just, it's not like something you talk about every time. You know, you went through it. We talked about it when she came out. And then you moved on, and it's never really discussed again. And then, unless, you know, she's talking about relationships or things like that. But other than that, it's really not something that you dwell on.
Well, what it comes down to is this going to be an issue in the weighing, you know, these organizations now, the some of the 32 teams have anonymously said that this knocks them down a little bit. I'm not trying to compare Manti Te'o and Michael Sam, except to say that it is something that would be, that's going to draw, same as Tim Tebow is another good example of that. Guys who are going to draw all sorts of media, and they're going to be covered in the resentment of players. I said last spring, I think the Chargers or whoever that ultimately was the Chargers, when it was Te'o, I thought, is he good enough to be worth that? You know, is he going to be, because he's going to be surrounded by a gaggle of media. And people told me, nah, he won't. This story will go away. And sure enough, it did. So when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. But the Tebow thing never did. And it was a distraction. And so I wonder, because if it were, let's say, Johnny Football, then I don't think anybody, I'm even more impenetrably great, destined to be a dominant NFL player. I don't think anybody would say, well, I'm not going to take him in the first round if he were great. But Michael Sam is projecting anywhere from 3 to 5. So I do wonder, I don't think you'll ever get an answer. Nobody's ever going to say publicly, no team's ever going to say, yeah, we just didn't want to deal with it.
But I think that is something. I don't know what the, you know, I mean, I think Te'o is actually a good comparison because I don't know what once you have that first press conference and you know, let's say he is a fourth, fifth round pick, he's going to be the only fourth or fifth round pick having his own press conference. Right. But you have that event and the media, local media, national media get to ask him questions. You know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a year later, what do they get? You know, what's it still like being a gay player in an NFL locker room?
Well, it's not even him.
There isn't really.
But if it's a contender, like if it was somebody, let's say it was the Seahawks, if they go back to the Super Bowl, then on media day, all the people who normally don't cover football, that would be the only
I don't
other
think
day.
That. I don't think that. Would that. Be the only other I day think the resentment is being a teammate having to answer questions about another teammate all the time instead of about themselves. Hey, what's it like being with Tim Tebow? What's he like in the locker room? That would be the pain in the butt. It's not saying, hey, how come Michael Sam has everybody surrounding him? Why do I have to answer questions constantly about another player? I have an ego. I'm a professional football player. Talk to me about me. I don't want to hear about, I don't want to tell you what it's really like being a teammate of Manti Te'o or anything else. Right. All right, listen, let's stop that conversation, because something much better is walking through the door as we speak here in the Studio 66. Here he is, Super Bowl champion, Michael Bennett. What's the poop, fella?
Man, I thought like Beyonce was walking in behind me or something.
No, have some self-esteem.
Oh, man, I thought Beyonce or Celine Dion or somebody was coming behind me, but it feels good to be a champion, man.
I bet it does. I bet I wouldn't know, of course. You know, I'm a loser in life, you know.
No, man. You work for NFL Network.
You're right.
Can't be that bad. You get to look at men all day, hit other men, and catch a ball and run to the end zone, and people love it.
That is a weird. I do sometimes step outside myself and realize that's my life, is talking about the deeds of other men. It's really sort of underwhelming.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, listen, those are my parents looking at me and feeling conflicted emotions. Like, this is why we got ourselves together all those years ago, all those decades, to create a child who talks about other human beings. Like, why doesn't he do something himself? Your parents get together. They name one child Martellus. They named the other one Michael. A lot of range in those names, you know, because usually you go like, you know, like
Michael,
Frank
Mark,
Zap-
yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah, Jacob.
Zappa goes like Moonbeam to Dweezil, like Michael and Martellus. Big range. How say you?
It's a big range, but my dad had a friend named Marty and one named Marcellus and another guy named Tellus, and he just put them all together and made Martellus. It's a unique name.
Which is best? Which would you rather have if you could go back in time? Would you rather be Michael or would you be Martellus?
I'd be Michael X.
Michael X?
Michael X.
Or Moses.
Wait a second. But you're not Michael X, though. You could do that now.
Change my name to Michael X and just have an X on back in my jersey.
Why has no one ever done that? That is an awesome idea.
I'm going to do it. Michael X.
Do it. Just change yourself mid-career. Listen, Ocho Cinco got away with it.
Did,
you can certainly go X.
He changed his name to some numbers. I don't know why.
I don't want to get real serious. I'm sure you've answered plenty of questions about this. But real quick, have the Seahawks. I have a hypothesis that each of the 32 teams get in touch with their current players and say, listen, here's what happened. This kid who's coming into the draft, Michael Sam, just came out as gay. Mind your P's and Q's. That, whether you agree with it or not, don't talk stuff because it just doesn't benefit you or the team.
Yeah, they have reached out to us, but people should have common sense to respect somebody else's personal space or what they're going through. I mean, it's not none of our business, man. It's his thing he's going through, and it's sad that everybody wants to have their opinion about it. You know, so many people saying their opinion but not showing their face, and I think that's the most coward thing about the whole situation. But if he likes what he does and that's what he does, I would accept him for who he is no matter what, because I don't judge anybody, man. The guy can play football. Obviously, he leads the SEC in sacks and tackles for loss, and that's hard to do. You can see that his play really – when he really let go and told his teammates what he was going through, his play really – jumped off the field. I could just imagine if he did that his first year, he might have had like 35, 40 sacks.
As you walked in the door, though, yeah, and by the way, he is sort of the perfect fit for the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are the perfect fit for him because you guys love, you guys have, yourself included, a lot of guys who are a little slept on coming out of school and maybe where, you know, he's projecting to be fourth, fifth round draft pick. And so you guys are obviously as progressive as it gets as a team.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I don't know if it's going to play into his draft, if he's going to where he's going to be drafted. Him saying that, but I think ultimately his play is going to really take him to where he wants to go. Whether he's drafted or not, or he's drafted in the fourth round, I think he still could potentially be a good player because his stats speak for themselves. It's hard to get that many sacks in the SEC. So I just wonder how this all going to play out. You know, in May when the draft comes around, if that's going to really play a key into people drafting him, like you said, there's going to be people in the locker room that's going to be look, there's Michael Sam right there. He has a lot of media. It can tear a team apart, but he has to go to a team that's really strong. You know what I mean? If they don't have a strong bond, that something like that could tear a team apart.
All right. And by the way, this is Handsome Hank over here, and this is Adam over here. This is my new friend, Michael Bennett. Michael X, I'm sorry.
Michael X.
So, X, the one more question for you, and then the fellows will jump in as well. But about the Sam stuff, as you're walking in, I was saying that to me, the thing that would annoy anybody who has an ego, and professional athletes all have an ego, or else you don't get to the highest level if you don't believe in yourself. How annoying is it? Like, well, the closest comparison would be after the title game. Did you get sick of answering questions about Richard Sherman?
No, I think like I said, it has to go back to a strong locker room. Things like that on a weak team will tear a team apart. Things like what he said could tear a team apart if they don't really care about their teammate. See, the difference between the Seahawks and any other team I've ever been on is that people really care about each other, and people have that. They understand people's families. They know each other's children. They hang out. And so that's what makes the team so strong on the field. They're willing to go to the next level for their teammate. And I think if Michael Sam or any other player goes to a team and that has that will or they care about their teammates like that, it's going to be a special feeling. After Sherman did that, it's like, I mean, who cares, man? We just won an NFC championship. We don't care about what they're saying or what the – because at the end of the day, the media needs something, no offense to y'all, but they need something to, you know, talk about. And this is just another thing to talk about, just like Sherman was another thing to talk about. I mean, we just beat the 49ers, our rivals, in the biggest game of the season, and we were going to the Super Bowl, and that's all they talked about. But as a team, nobody really cared. We laughed at, like, Sherman being Sherman, but it's just – well, we don't really care, man.
And you guys were brought together by the fact that you collectively have to endure wearing those ugly uniforms. Every week.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I don't jive.
You can't say that.
Michael X, when I the sign It's not really over the door, but in my brain it is. No jive talk. You know, I don't jive, and I'm not going to jive you. I don't like the uniform. So what?
The uniforms are nice, though, man.
Now, it's, the it's, silver that Jim Zorn and Steve Largent wore, those
were
nice.
Those uniforms are nice. I mean, but old school things are kind of better than the new school things because, you know, people took time to make things, especially cars. You get in one of these new cars, you pay $80,000 for it, and you get in the wreck, and it folds like a piece of bread.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or like an old school, you know, Chevy, like I have a Chevy Bel Air 1957.
It's
you like, yeah, it's all metal. It's like you can't, if anybody runs into that car, I feel sorry for him. But
long and short is Michael Michael X agrees with me.
Exactly. Yeah,
but no, the jerseys are nice. We were first, the Nike gave us, like, we have a different Nike deal than a lot of other teams, so we get a lot of different stuff from everybody. Kind of like the Oregon of the NFL, honestly.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But our uniforms are different, man. It's a whole nother yellow, a whole nother blue. They kind of made all those colors up, kind of. And it looks good, though. Our fans love it. We have the best fans in all of the football.
So, you got to say that. The all gray ones, though, I...
No, the all gray ones are questionable.
Okay.
Okay. But the white... The
see,
white,
that's where they... Okay, yeah.
The white is nice, and the blue on the gray is good.
Yeah.
So a week ago, you played in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, just between the four of us, was the real championship game, the NFL championship game, actually the NFC championship
game? No, it's... You know what? Like, people want to say that because the game was a lot closer, but... I mean, nobody had the idea that the game was going to be like that. People expected the game to be 21-14. You know, people probably picked us to win, but they expected the game to be closer. So this game was still tough, man. Peyton Manning is arguably, statistically, you know, one of the best quarterbacks, or probably the best quarterback.
You understand that you can argue. I like when people say that's one of my new things. I like to break down what people say quite a bit with cliches and stuff. People say, like, they love that adverb, arguably. He's arguably the best. Well, I can argue anything. It doesn't mean there's
anything. I think he's the best, but like you said.
Do you really? You think he's the best?
I mean, statistically, yes. I mean... But
what's in your
heart? What
does
that mean?
Well, numbers are numbers. What's in your heart?
Because Peyton Manning is the best quarterback of my generation.
Ah, more than Tom Brady, more than Aaron Rodgers.
You were at the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And you still feel that way.
I still feel. I mean, those guys, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is what? How many years it is? Peyton is what? 15 years?
Something like that. 16,
something.
I think.
Long time.
16. I mean, he's doing his 16 years high. This is his 16th year. And for him to be 38 years old and performing better than these 19-year-old guys, they still got their youth. Could you imagine if he had this type of offense if he won his first year in the league?
He had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and all those guys.
He always had weapons, though. I'm not saying he doesn't always have weapons, but Aaron Rodgers is the next best quarterback in the new generation.
I'm talking about the 2008 and beyond.
But before the 99 and on is Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Just depends where you want to go with it.
X, let me ask you a question, I want to turn it over to the producer behind the glass, Black Tie. He is another one who doesn't like jive talk, and he has a question for you.
Well, my question is, the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Malcolm Smith, great game, but honestly, two of his biggest plays, he was in the right place at the right time. Who do you think should have won the MVP?
I think Malcolm should have won the MVP. He scored a touchdown. He got the – I mean, because at the end
off
of the day
– Off of Cliff Avril's pressure.
But still, he has to catch the ball. Like, some guys –
it was right in the bucket.
Some guys don't catch that ball. Like, you know, I was watching the Chargers game against the Broncos. If the corner would have caught that – one of those interceptions twice, that game would have been different. They drove down the field. He had a chance to get – was it the Sharif Wright or whatever?
Yeah.
If you'd have caught that ball, that game would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the safety would have caught the ball, and it would have been different, they had more chances. So you have to catch the ball. So I feel like he deserved to beat MVP.
Black Tie, though, he was fawning over you from up high in the press box. He wanted you to be the MVP.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a defensive lineman. I was happy, Malcolm. I love to see a guy that nobody thought was going to win the MVP. And, you know, people I wonder who betted on him.
Ever heard of him before he got the MVP?
Yeah, he's
a lot of people hadn't.
He made a lot of plays this season,
he
though.
Did. He made a lot of plays. Championship pick.
Once again, in the right place at the right time. That's a skill in itself, though,
How many times do those plays or those passes get dropped? Like, I think of Asante Samuel in the Super Bowl against the Giants a couple of years ago. But that ball goes through his hands.
What about Gronkowski?
You have to make it.
What about Gronkowski against the Giants? Mm-hmm. If he would have ran just a little faster, I'm not questioning did he run fast or did he
right.
But that play was – that could have changed the game. That Hail Mary that he threw.
Oh yeah,
the ball was tipped and it was on the ground. And he had to take another step. I mean, some guys you got to keep hustling the whole time.
X. Mm-hmm. I want to talk. I have so many things to talk about, and our time is running short already. It makes me sad. I'd like to have. I can tell already. I'd like 90 minutes with you at some point soon. Next time you're in LA.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about the Niners game, and we'll circle back to the Broncos stuff. But that game, first of all, Pete Carroll, no jive now. Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh, they just don't like each other. True?
I'm not sure.
You know, he says to
like
you.
Like, legitimately.
No,
they don't.
You know, honestly, Pete doesn't really say bad stuff about people. I mean, at least he doesn't say it to the team. You know, people have their opinions, and I think he does a great job of not, you know, forcing his opinion on the rest of the team. And then we went into that game. We knew it was going to be a hard game. Obviously, the 49ers are a really good team. The fans get mad at me because I say that, but that's a really good organization and a good team. I mean, they have
their fine, but you should dislike them. Don't ever publicly praise them.
I'm not publicly praising them, but I give the Jets due to the Jets due. If a team's not good, I'll say they're not good. That team is a good team. So every time we play them, you got to strap up your boots and be ready to go to battle. I mean, the quarterback is a good quarterback. He's one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the whole NFL. The way he moves is just, you're like, he doesn't look fast, but he's moving really fast.
Hardest to tackle?
Yeah.
Is he the hardest one to catch?
Cam Newton is the hardest person.
Really?
I mean, Cam Newton is just 265. He's a defensive end playing quarterback.
It's crazy. When you see him in person, he is a monster of a human being.
He's a monster of human. He's one of the most agile quarterbacks in the whole NFL.
But he's also, you know what else he is? He is, at worst, the second most handsome guy in the NFL.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Who's the first?
Tom Brady. Nobody's beating Tom Brady. I don't care.
Why are you looking at me? Like
Cam Newton can do whatever he wants, but no one else. Well, who else? Who's the most handsome Seahawk?
Me. I'm not going to say any man is more handsome than me.
Come on.
It's me. And then me again.
You're not bad looking. I mean, I'm not saying that you're unattractive, but you're not the best. Come on.
I like the tie, the whole suit.
You know who?
Very sharp.
Can I tell you who is the most handsome? Now I'm thinking about it as I'm running it through my head. Doug Baldwin. He's a handsome devil. True.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't really look at Doug like that. But
well, now you will. Next time you see him, you can tell him. Dave Damashek said you're the most handsome guy on the team.
Hey, he might like that too much. I'm not gonna tell him.
But so in that game, first of all, the Kaepernick throw. Have you looked back on that? By the way, X is checking his email or checking his text messages.
No, my wife is texting me.
What you have to say?
Get some diapers on the way home, you know, stuff like that.
Did you? You're a married man, but have you noticed, because women don't know what your status is, you do have a wedding ring on, but still.
They don't care.
Do they, have you found since you got the Super Bowl ring that they like you better now?
Yeah, they probably like me. They probably
do
like
they?
It.
Have you sensed that?
Women like winners. Let's just be honest.
It is true.
True story.
Some guys are so, you know, you talk about unattractive guys and Seal, okay. I don't know anything about Seal.
Seal.
Yeah.
But he's successful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heidi Klum
does well.
Right.
I mean, there's some guys, you know. Jay-Z, I mean.
Yeah, he's not. Beyonce. I mean, Jay-Z, you'd walk by him. You'd never give him a second look.
Yeah,
That's right.
Success. Women love guys that are successful.
What did you guys do the night of the Super Bowl? You win the Super Bowl. You celebrate in the locker room. Then what?
We just really just enjoying the team, man. Because you know the team.
How?
Everybody just had a good time. We just had a, you know, a big party. But, you know.
Where?
In the West End. Elvin Jupiter. Our owner owns Jupiter. You didn't hear? You didn't check it? You didn't check it? He owns a lot of stuff.
He is rich. He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants. For his pastime for the next couple of years. The last 2 years he's been building a spaceship because he wants to go to the space.
Is he? I didn't know he was doing that. He's one of those guys who's getting into the whatever they call the privatized space race and everything.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
If I had that much money, I'd probably do that.
But, I mean, would you be on board? Would you be happy to go into space?
Yeah, I'd go up there and look at the world.
I wouldn't. I'm a coward. You see? That's why I'm not one of the many reasons I'm not a winner. Because I'm a coward. No, I'd be too scared. I wouldn't want to do that.
Space is a space, though, man. It's different. You've never been up there. It might be something special.
I guess so, but that's what I'm saying. I don't have the wanderlust. And that's why I'm here in 66, and you're out on the field winning Super Bowls, you see?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Now, your brother. He's sort of, he's not, I wouldn't call him, I don't want to diminish him in any way because I talked to him Super Bowl week in New York City. And let me tell you something. Again, no jive. I found him delightful. I really did enjoy him quite a bit. He has the children's book, as you know.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Black Tie, play a little back of that, our conversation with your brother.
It's called You Are What You Eat. It's about Timmy and Tommy, all right? I want to be super. I want to be duper. Mom, we would like candy for supper. No candy, not tonight. Eat all your broccoli and you'll be super, all right?
Mm.
Look, it's story time like it's positions.
But mom, it tastes like feet. When the world makes chocolate, who wants to beat? Timmy and Tommy, please listen to mommy. You eat all your candy and you'll turn into zombies.
I mean, it's excellent stuff. Do you agree?
Oh, no, it's good stuff. My brother's writing a book. My wife is writing a children's book, too. They like that kind of stuff. But it's a good book, though. He's having a daughter. He's stepping into that father's side. He wants to do something special. I think more guys need to have more stuff off the field that's positive. It's so much. This is a byproduct with the NFL. Not the money part, obviously, but it's the guys are so intense off the field that they take it. I mean, they're on the field that they take it off the field. You got to find something like when if a guy's creative, they say he does it. He's not serious about football, but guys have to be a little get away from it to be special in football.
That's so right.
Some of the best players, they don't really think about football after they're done because you can't. If you do that, you go crazy, man. If you go think about, oh man, I missed that one step on the 22 ISO. I could have made the block better, but you got to have something where you could just be, you know, where you could get off the field and just be yourself. Like for me, I like to go to the ocean, go surfing, chilling.
You surf?
Yeah, but I can't surf right now. My agent's like, don't do anything.
Don't do any of that.
Oh, speaking of that, this off season, I see on whatever it was, Monday, I think, Earl Thomas tweets out, well, to me, I thought it was braggadocious. He's like, well, off season, here we go, workout, and starts working out. I was like, listen. Enough's enough. You just won a Super Bowl ring. Now you're showing me up by working out? I don't like that attitude. How say you, X?
No, that's just Earl, though, man. He's so competitive.
Too
man.
Much, though.
He's competitive all the time, man. He has his face. So it's like, oh, okay. It's breakfast time. I pour cereal, then he pours more cereal. I pour a little more cereal, he pours more milk. I'm like, it's not a competition right now. You know what I mean? But it's just how Earl is, man. He's just competitive, man. He wants to be the best safety ever. That's all.
Yeah, but you know what, though? So go out to dinner for at least the next month, you know?
Oh,
go
know.
Trip the like fantastic like said, then do your stuff.
Like
you know?
I said, guys got to stop being so – you got to let it go. You got to be yourself. I mean, you go crazy. I feel bad for the wives because – you know, that's why divorce rate is so high because guys just can't get away from the sport. I was like, look at the coaches. I'm like, you up here how long? Like you coach, you're 7 years old. You've been coaching since you were 20. You don't spend no summers with your kids and you don't see your grandkids. I'm like,
That's not X and Martellus's problem at
no,
all. I can tell
problem.
That.
No, I'm good. My kids, I spend time with my, every day I go home and my kids, I try to do something creative with them and let them be themselves.
You going to take them to see the Lego movie?
No.
No, I took my kids to see the Lego movie this weekend. They loved it. It's funny. I think you'll like it.
I was wondering if it had that adult humor in it.
It definitely does. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy that. Yeah, yeah. But listen, go surf. Don't listen to your agent about that.
But you got to take
what
your
if
kid,
I drown?
Take your kids surfing.
You're going to be on Tuesday. Well,
I'll handle it.
I told Michael Bennett to go surfing.
But you can.
We know black people can't swim. I knew that. And the world knew that. And I told him to get in the ocean, and he couldn't swim.
And then he got eaten by a shark. I feel bad about that. You know, a shark got Michael X, and now I have to live with it for the rest of my days.
You won't feel bad. You'll eat breakfast still.
Hey, with the Niners thing, did you guys, with that ongoing thing, did you feel like, and again, this one more time, I'm going to prove to you, no jive talk out of me. I shoot straight. Yeah. I think you guys would have lost if that had been not just in Candlestick, on a neutral site. Do you feel like that home field? Because it's a great thing to have the home field, but do you feel like on a neutral site? How if you guys played each other 10 times in New York City, let's say, what would be the result there?
10-0.
But that's not so. See, now you're driving me.
I can't be as an athlete or as somebody that plays sports. You got to believe that you're always going to win, no matter what. Like just like we went to the game with the Broncos, we knew that we could give up 0 points. We could not let them score at all. I mean, letting somebody score is you got to let them score.
Last question: did you in the locker room at halftime? Did you say, you know what? Let's shut these guys out. We can really shut them out.
We wanted to shut them out. We went to every game we played this season. We were the best defense. We wanted to not give up any points. I mean, those games we had 5 turnovers. Mm-hmm. 5. Some teams get 5 turnovers in 6 weeks. We had the most turnovers in NFL history, I think. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, it was all, and it must be pretty satisfying. But did you miss it all being in Tampa Bay this past year? Were you sad that you didn't get to be around the Shiano experience?
I was so sad, like a nail in my shoe. I was so sad. Nah, I wasn't sad, man. You know, the times you move on and And it was it's the best situation that ever happened to me. I mean, I got lucky, and God blessed me to be in a great situation. And when people thought counted me out, I got on this team and really played the same way I played my whole career and just shine.
It'd be funny if you got traded to the Browns tomorrow, huh?
I would cry.
I know, because there's not good surfing there on the Great Lakes. Like,
they don't tell you who they fired. It's like, hey, everybody's at work. It's like, you over there. You're the GM, and you'll be the coach today. It's like, they're just crazy over there.
I know.
There.
You do that stuff on Friday. Haven't they even seen Office Space?
They fired the color brown earlier today. it's getting out of hand, really.
It's getting out of hand. They want to win, but... Winning it takes time. I think you got to be a patient GM and a patient owner to really win. Like if Pete won 7-5 the first year, and they're like, oh, 7-9 is not enough. Mm-hmm. He's gone. I mean, you got to let guys look. This is his fourth year on this team, and we already won a Super Bowl. You got to let a guy really let his philosophy grow. Like even with Shiano, they didn't let his philosophy grow.
I mean, I kind of agree. Yeah,
they didn't. His second year. I mean, of course he had to. You got to get the guys out because the system is the way that you want it to be. You can't. Some guys don't fit in your system. You got to find those guys, and it takes time. You know, you get Shiano a couple. He was building a good roster. I mean, the offensive line. Carl Nix was hurt, and you know, Mike Williams was on IR. Doug Martin. He didn't have none of his superstars. The quarterback. We don't even know what happened with the quarterback situation. And you got to give people time to grow. I mean, come on. The coach from the Browns. I mean, the Browns had six Pro Bowlers.
It's great. Yeah, they're loaded. Listen, I don't want to hold you up any further. I'd really love to talk more though about that kind of stuff, Shiano. Because even if you both went 7-9, if the Bucks went 7-9 and you went 7-9, at least you guys had a good time. It seems like even if you did have a bum year, it seems like that's the most fun place to be. Maybe Pittsburgh with Tomlin or Rex Ryan.
Well, I think that's what you got to let these players. They got problems off the field. They got problems on the field. So you got to let them. You got to let them be. You got to let them be cool. They don't need people have that much structure on the football field. Football is a free sport. You got to feel it and play it, and you can't have that much structure to where it feels like the players are playing for the coach's acceptance. You got to be playing to win, not for did the coach see me? I didn't have my foot on the line. I'm going to get in trouble. You know, stuff like that. You shouldn't be worried about stuff like that. You should be worried about, I see the play. It's a sack fumble. Let's win. You know what I mean? Like, but you can't be worried about all the other stuff, I think.
All right, listen. X, you've said it all. We'll cut it off there. Someday soon, you, me, Brother Martellus, into space.
Yeah.
Or surfing.
We'll call it the Marty X Show.
We'll go surfing on Jupiter, three of us.
Surfer, we'll hang out with
you. Listen. Go before it's another half hour, and then I get really in a lot of trouble from the commish for keeping you in here too long. There he goes. Michael X Bennett, muzzle tough to you. Happy for you to get that ring. Don't do like Earl Bennett, though. Enjoy yourself. Be a human being.
Yeah, I am, man. Happy Black History Month, too, man.
Yes.
I'm out of here.
Yes. Same to you, handsome Hank.
Thank you.
Oh, tell him real quick how you say Seattle Seahawks. He'll like that.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks.
Where you from, man?
From London.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. Well, we played out there.
You played with
Can you, Michael X, say Seattle Seahawks like he says it? Try it one more time, handsome.
All you have to do is pronounce the T's in Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle
Seahawks.
That's it. You got it.
It's silly how you sound when you hear somebody say it back to you. You realize sound silly.
How silly does this sound? Seattle Seahawks.
Well, that sounds proper is what
it
sounds.
No, it doesn't.
Seattle Seahawks. There he goes. The great Michael X. Bennett. I liked him a lot. You know? I wouldn't want to have to choose between Martellus and Michael because they're both delightful.
It would be tough.
Do though. Go on.
Should I choose?
Yeah, I don't think you have to. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, pick one.
You don't
one.
Have to, but I think you should.
No, you should pick one.
I didn't get around to telling him because I wanted some sibling rivalry, although it didn't sound like he's much of he wants to be a children's book writer. But my idea is something called fruits or vegetables. They get into a war, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
Because they have fruits and vegetables. They're always chummy. But the key, of course, to any successful drama – as we know, you need a little conflict.
So
fruit. Who would lead the fruit and vegetable armies?
I think you know the answer to that. The apple, of course, General Apple.
General Honeycrisp.
General Honeycrisp versus General Asparagus.
Asparagus. I can see potatoes.
Well, the tough part.
Maybe they're more infantrymen.
No, the potatoes, they just kind of fall in line.
Yeah.
But the tomato would be kind of torn because a lot of people just assume it's a vegetable. It's like, no, I've got a seed. And I could see him being shunned by the rest of the fruit, being like, no, 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 you're vegetable. You're in all these. You're always in the vegetable medley. Like, don't come hang out with us.
But a great way to go undercover, though.
But it is.
I love that. That's a great thing. Cherry Tomato is the double agent vixen, right, like in a Bond picture.
Yeah.
She maybe makes time with Major Pear, and then flips on, you know. Oh, the possibilities are endless. Let's get on this before someone listening to the cast steals this wonderful idea.
Can I say one thing about Martellus's story, too? Because that was the first time I heard it. Uh-huh. I was out on Super Bowl Boulevard when you guys were doing that. I felt his book's a little too preachy.
Yeah, they don't really. Most successful children's books don't ultimately encourage bad behavior. They don't generally express the virtues of not listening to your parents and living an unhealthy lifestyle.
I'm writing.
Devil's advocate. Try some cigarettes, kids.
That's my children's book, The Popular Boy Who Smoked and Drank a Lot.
All right. So now it's a little later than we expected it to. So I don't know if we're going to have time to kibitz with Daniel Jeremiah, unfortunately. But fortunately, he's imminently available to us. And so we can get him on the phone to talk Browns. Meantime, Handsome Hank, your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns. And let me just say this about Daniel Jeremiah. The reason that I was intrigued by having him on today to talk Browns is the fact that, you know, the easy position to take and the obvious one, and it's obviously makes sense that anybody would, is train wreck. This is a ridiculous mess of a situation, firing everybody every other week. But on the other side, as Michael X just said, they do, in fact, have six Pro Bowlers, same as the Chiefs a year ago. Look what happened if you get the right coach in there. And as Jeremiah says, if they get the QB situation solved, and even if they don't, if they go Brian Hoyer, what if they did take Sammy Watkins in the first round? Let's say Johnny Football goes to the Texans, and they don't love Blake Bortles, and we know they don't like Teddy Bridgewater. So, or I don't know, maybe Farmer does like them, but the previous regime didn't. Either way, they don't go QB. They go Sammy Watkins. If you went Josh Gordon and Sammy Watkins, I'm quite certain, and not to mention their terrific tight end as well, Jordan Cameron. If you had that collection of pass catchers, how bad could Brian Hoyer be to not be successful with those guys? And they have a good offensive line and a potentially dominant defense.
I agree. And plus, they have a second first-round pick.
Right.
So they could go at the back end of the first round. I think it's so 24, 26.
I think, yeah, something 26, like that. 26,
I think,
yeah.
I think they, you know, then there's Derek Carr or there's another quarterback waiting
AJ McCarron.
There. So, I think he might be a little bit later. But, yeah, I think there's a good opportunity. There's a good opportunity for them to get that quarterback anyway back there. But you're right. And then when you look at this, the Browns regime and the guys who've been fired, you know, these guys were trying to, about 3 weeks before he broke out and became the best receiver in the NFL for the second half of the season, the Browns were shopping Josh Gordon. You know, so this is you kind of look at that regime and what they've done over the last year. Their draft wasn't exceptional. They got Barkevious Mingo in the draft last April, but not a whole lot else. And then they're trying to basically liquidize the rest of the team and collect more draft picks for a time, you know, in the distant future.
It's hard to even tell. So did they? So who hired Mike Pettine then? Did he?
Apparently, it was the guys who
Lombardi and Bannon.
Yes, who are now no longer with
so
the team.
So they're responsible. They said to Haslam, "We want this is the guy
correct
to take."
During that time, Ray Farmer was both interviewing with the Miami Dolphins for their GM job and at the Senior Bowl. He played no part at all in the hiring of the coach that is now his coach.
Could he be fired before the season starts?
I mean, who would rule anything out in Cleveland?
That would be the best. That would be, I mean, no offense to the guy who was hired, but it would be awesome just to have it happen just because Cleveland.
The thing that is amusing to me about it is when you watch the press conference, you would think that not contrite isn't the right word, but you would sort of expect Haslam to have sort of to cut a humble figure like, yeah, listen, fits and starts as we're trying to get this thing going. But then when he's asked about, like, what is going, essentially the reporters say some variation on, What gives already? And he's like, he sort of, he gives him a smirk as though, like, you don't get it. You
and, know? He said, I learned a lot during, you know, I want to thank Joe Banner. I've learned a lot during this time. It's like, I wouldn't say that you've necessarily shown that with what's happened so far.
And Lombardi, and then he says, Mike and his wife, and he mentions the wife by name.
We're
good friends. You think Mike feels that
way? Probably not anymore. Don't think you're on the Christmas card list anymore.
Is that contract guaranteed? Then they probably don't care. But you know what it is? It seems like it's a Steelers fan running the Browns. That's where he came. Came from the Steelers organization. It's like, wait, how is this being allowed? Like, they let the the Browns were already bad.
Talk about agent.
Did they need somebody to go in and do this and kind of, now I'm really going to take things apart? Like, no, they were doing a pretty good job of them on their own with not being very good.
You would think the Steelers would do that, though, if they had to do they would do it. Yeah, the Ravens or Patriots or someone else. Why would they do it to the Browns?
The Browns, we could get away with it.
They already got them as the gum on your shoe.
That's the issue, though, is that the Chiefs did have that turnaround a year earlier, but they got Andy Reid as a head coach for all his faults. Andy Reid was a proven NFL head coach. Who knows, maybe Mike Pettine will end up being very good as well, but he definitely, in year one, it's always pretty difficult for a rookie head coach. I don't think in that division, regardless of whether they got six Pro Bowlers or whatever else, or they get the Teddy Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel or whoever, that division's going to be a pretty tough one to crack and be a playoff team.
I'll say this. Here, you know, I hear the whispers, and, you know, I've been doing this gig now for a few years off and on. You know, I've been doing this. And I've kind of learned that there's a code when people tell you things sort of quietly. They whisper and you overhear the conversations. Or if you say, you know, when there's not a camera or a microphone around, guys will shoot straight with you. But you know, I don't think they want you running. So I'm not going to name names. But I have talked to people who certainly would know about it. And there is legitimate doubt about Joe Flacco. You know, there are people in that organization, suffice to say, who question the $20 million contract, eating up that much of the cap for the Ravens, and whether or not Joe Flacco can do it week in and week out. It did, a year removed from his Super Bowl and playoff run, it did look in 2013 over the majority of the season like, if nothing else, he's not going to do that every week. And, you know, and you know, some of the greats, as we debate, some guys are inconsistent guys, so that's not the end of the world. I do think if Flacco gets one more receiver, what if they get, you know, the kid out of Florida State, or they get one of
Marquise
these
Lee.
Yeah, or they get Lee out of USC. If they get one of these guys and you put him with Torrey Smith, who's legit, and Dennis Pitta, who looks like a fine pass catcher if he's fully healthy, and Ray Rice, now you're talking about I could see that team being good again.
That's
Pittsburgh,
the whole
thing. I think, is going to be good. And I don't just say, oh, the Steelers are going to be good. I don't pick them to win every year. I picked them to go 8-8 last year to prove that I don't just blindly say, oh, yes, playoffs for that team.
So
I think
that,
they're going to be good next year.
That bought you enough time now,
that
so
bought,
you can
that
be.
That bought him a 14-2.
I said 8-8, and they went 8-8. What else can I say? That's legit. That's a prediction that came true.
You can go fanboy for the rest of your NFL career.
That's
on
exactly
the
right.
Back in 2013,
that's right.
I said they'd go 8-8. All right, fair enough.
Hey,
Michael X, I almost stopped him because when he was like, nobody thought we would blow out the Broncos, and I was like, wait.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to that because I saw you raise your hand.
I was like, wait a minute, but
he was rolling. He was trying to make a point.
No, listen, I didn't want to stop on it, but
you did. You did, Ryan. Kudos to you. You said what, a 20-point difference?
I said 38-12, and I still get the retweets of people finding like a lot of the Bronco fans tweets to me like, you're gonna look like a JA, you know, when this game's over. You're like, yeah, because I gave you guys too much credit. thinking you would score 12 points. Thinking you would get into the field goal range four times. I was shooting high.
And also in the name of when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Yes, I thought the Bengals were loaded. And I said that from November until now. It's been 15, 16 months, so I think I can stop pointing it out. But now through this offseason, can you imagine if they go with Andy Dalton? That team's the most intriguing to me in what they're an early candidate for. Could be awesome or could regress back to 8-8 and neither, or 7-9, and neither would shock me. But if they really go Andy Dalton, I don't know what. I don't know. I mean, they no longer have Zimmer, which is bad. Now they no longer have Jay Gruden, which I actually think is good. But Marvin Lewis is uninspiring at this point, you know. And but they have gone to the playoffs three straight years. But to your point, the Browns. So DJ Daniel Jeremiah says they could go double digit wins, which is fascinating. In that division, I can't tell what, and that is everything, is how good the teams you have to play twice are.
Exactly. And that I think will hold them back. I don't think they'll be a bad team. I think they'll be better, but they weren't horrible last year. They weren't, you know, they weren't a terrible team all the way through last season either.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. It's a weird story that Jimmy Haslam and company have sort of pushed is that this isn't good enough for what happened. Right. It's like, well, you were pretty good, and then Brian Hoyer got hurt, and it's weird to say that Brian Hoyer got hurt, and that's when things went downhill. But it is true. That was they were an interesting story. People forget, but the first 5-6 weeks it was kind of like Browns have a good defense.
They were in first. They were 3-2. They beat Buffalo.
Exactly, and they pulled off the heist of the season by getting the Colts to hand over those draft picks for Trent Richardson.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. So that it's a fascinating division in that sense that you have 1 year removed from the Super Bowl hangover for Flacco, the mighty Steelers,
yeah, but the thing
formerly a perennial playoff participant, now two straight years of missing that, the Bengals with their question, and now this Browns thing. If Jeremiah is right, it immediately jumps into, like, what's going to happen in between now and December that it will be a more fascinating yarn, right. And of course the NFL always seems to provide the answer to that. But really, if the Browns do go double-digit wins, what would be more fascinating than the debacle that it has been for the last 6 weeks if they somehow then rise and have a good season out of it all.
Very true. But when you're the thing about the Ravens, though, you kind of went over it. Like, Dennis Pitta was gone for most of the season. Ray Rice, you have to believe, was hurt for the majority of the season. And then they got rid of Anquan Boldin, which was one of the most...
That was their mistake.
That was the big thing with them. That was the biggest difference in everything that's been holding back Joe Flacco over the last 12 months was that they got rid of Anquan Boldin.
I got to tell you, I don't mean to undermine your point, but as I say all the time, so what? Everybody has injuries.
But they got rid of Anquan Boldin. They could have overcome the thing with Dennis Pitta if they still had Boldin.
He's one of those guys,
though.
Nobody
to go to. When they got near the red zone, they couldn't.
This diminishes Anquan Boldin, but I do like to hold up the Kurt Rambis for people who followed the NBA back in the 80s, or even in another good NBA comparison is Rick Fox. Anquan Boldin could not be a number one wide receiver for anybody. And in fact, when Michael Crabtree was out, he wasn't terribly productive with the 49ers. He needs somebody else to set him up. Rick Fox couldn't start on a bad NBA team, but on a really talented one, he serves a purpose that allows his particular talent set to be successful to the overall thing. I think that's what Anquan Boldin is. I do think if he had been there, they would have been a better team. I don't know if they would have been a playoff team.
They weren't that far from the playoffs.
They were a win away.
Yeah.
They would have beaten the Bungles. They would have gone to the playoffs. So maybe, yeah, that would have been worth one. All right. So we're not going to talk to Jeremiah. Black tie behind the glasses confirming that right now with his ridiculous hand gestures. I'm reading into them. I'm getting better and better each day at reading what Black tie's suggesting with his foolish hand stuff.
He should give you one of those playbooks to attach.
It should
to
be like, that's a good idea.
They have those posters with the NFL official signals, like what all of them mean. I wish Black tie would just put that up in the glass.
Hey, Black tie, real quick, are we in any trouble? We kept Michael X in a little long.
All I'm going to say is if we don't have another podcast for the next couple of weeks, don't blame me.
I couldn't help it. He was intoxicating with his.
We're fine. No issues at all. We're good.
Lastly, then
at some time, but he was having a good time.
Yeah, but that's not what counts. They don't.
They always tell me fun times. They love it. You know, it's great. But you know, then they have to go do the regular TV stuff
and boring stuff.
Yeah,
X. I like that. That's going to be his new thing. Wow, that would look really cool on the back of a jersey.
Would he have to be number 10?
Robert Griffin III isn't.
Maybe they replace the number 10 as well with an X, so it would be like X, and then the number 10 would be X, too.
It's one of the most insane things when you really think about the numerology side of things. Why does Robert Griffin III wear 10? Why does he wear anything but 3? Shouldn't it just be Griffin with the big 3 underneath it?
You're
missed opportunity
lying.
There, RG3. Lastly, I'm upset by the fact that Black Tie, who considers himself a television aficionado, and Adam Rank, who considers himself the same, have not been watching the greatest television show. I'll say this. it's the greatest first four episodes of any TV show that I've ever seen. I'm speaking of True Detective on HBO.
Now, I'm not making fun of you one way or the other, but you've never seen The Shield, right?
I have not.
Okay.
I've seen a little, but yeah, I haven't seen every TV. When I say ever, of course, it means the ones that I've seen.
I just want to make sure. I know what you mean.
But really, I'm saying the first four. It could completely go off the rails from here out, and then it'll be whatever. I'll be disappointed.
I would still encourage people to watch those first four.
It's tremendous. Handsome Hank, you've been watching.
I've been watching it. So during the plane cast, or maybe before the plane cast, I was sitting between Dave Damashek and one of our colleagues, the great Patrick Crawley. You both encouraged me to watch it.
He likes the Buffalo Bills, which is weird.
Yeah, that is weird. You both encouraged me to watch it. I don't have any family at home at the moment. They're all back in the UK. So I sat down and I watched the first three episodes back to back to back. And I was engrossed. And I was also a little scared. It's a creepy show.
There's some creepy moments.
I'm in a house by myself. I don't care. People are listening. I'll say this out loud. I get scared sometimes if I watch a scary movie or something like that. So it's nighttime. I close the windows and then I can't sleep because it's terrifying.
As a teenager, and as I look back on this now, it really is heartbreaking. I feel my heart goes out to a pubescent Dave Damashek. But and I'm sure when I'm 60, I'll look back and say the current Dave Damashek was pathetic as well. But I look back, in my house, we had the HBO, and I would spend Saturday nights. My two sisters would go out on the town. They'd socialize with people. Right. My parents would go out on the town. I'd be home alone watching watching Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Or Friday the 13th Part 2 and stuff like that. That was my life. And I'd never liked sitting alone. Right. I would be terrified. Do you remember the old commercial, in fact, the asthma commercial? Or there was if you had trouble breathing, and it would start with somebody holding a match at the end of at arm's length, and they would try to blow it out. And it would be wheezy, and it would be like, I remember being so freaked out watching Friday the 13th Part 2 that I turned it off and it landed on that commercial, and that freaked me out too. It was spooky. Just you turn to somebody holding a match and like, I didn't care for that either. But yes. This is not a horror movie.
It's not a horror movie.
A horror show.
It's not.
Right. It's creepy. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's creepy.
There is something about it that is dark. It's all about human existence, right. and it runs real deep. And there's a speech in the third episode from McConaughey when they go to that makeshift chapel, under a tent.
Yeah.
When he's talking about the nature of, religion and self self knowledge and all that sort of stuff that is just marvelous. It happens to agree with me, so it's the way my brain sort of regards everything too. But it does go back to what I say. It's important for you always to remember as you go through life. You know how I always say, people, you're the star of your own movie. Everybody is the star of their own movie. And so even if you think you're charismatic and fascinating or whatever else, you're just a bit part in that person's movie. They're the star. And as far as that goes, everybody has to feel essential. That's really what it is. It's when you talk about rank, to go all the way back to where we were when we started with Michael Sam, in a way, I don't care if you agree, whatever your religion is or anything else, you can think whatever you want. The only time I get raw is if you tell me I have to think the way you do. I don't care if you believe that. You can argue anything you want. I love the need to be essential. That's really what it is. Everybody feels like they are. I feel like that is really what the show is about.
McConaughey's preaching through the whole thing. All of his little monologues are ending up around that same idea. And the bad guy in this that we've glimpsed now once.
Well, that's another thing. I thought you were talking about Woody Harrelson because he's deeply rationalizing his life. But it all goes back to that he's essential. He needs this. He's important, right. So he can rationalize his deeds however he wants to, because he, as a human being, feels essential. It's the paradox of the human intellect. Right. We're not the most powerful beasts on the face of the earth, and yet we rule it. it because of our intellect, but our intellect is what keeps us from accepting that we're just animals who are gonna vanish at some point. Anyway,
Black Tie, you need some kind of a sting or whatever you call it above that, which is like Dave preaches the truth.
Yeah, I want.
Can you do something?
I want
like
some
that?
Thoughtful. I want some thoughtful instrumental
underneath,
underneath.
All of that stuff.
Dave gets heavy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so I figuratively, because I'm physically heavy, as anyone with two eyes can
Dave
see.
Dave gets heavier.
So I'll watch the show.
Yes. But anyway, yeah, but then the story the reveal of
the bad guy
is one of the most bizarre.
So
you just got to watch
You're thinking that it might be, you know, well, you don't know who it's going to be. There's definitely a bad guy.
And they're talking to all these Cajun people. They're like, oh, yeah, that's Reggie Ledoux.
Reggie Ledoux, he's trouble.
Reggie Ledoux, you got to be careful with Reggie Ledoux. That's my impression of a Cajun person.
Very good. Reggie Ledoux, we catch
it's like one of the extras from The Water Boy.
We catch a brief glimpse of Reggie Ledoux, who is essentially a lunatic wearing a pair of dirty Y fronts and a gas mask, roaming his garden. And I just can't wait to. I don't think that counts as a spoiler alert because I haven't really told you anything.
No,
there is a bad guy.
I won't download it now.
But it's I can't wait to meet this guy because he's a real. He may be the best lunatic.
Somebody
drop
me a line. Tweet hashtag DDFP. What show in history rank throws out the shield? What show has been? I love The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and Mad Men, but what show had this opened with four episodes?
I think
like
it's
this?
Only eight episodes long, and then it's done. They're not messing around. They're not telling you come back for the next 16 years to watch this.
That's up your
one
alley.
One and done.
Right, that's the way
Correct.
British television does
Fawlty
it.
Fawlty Towers did it that mm-hmm. way.
The Office was like
The Office was a short run. That's the way to do it.
But you know, when you're talking about all the shows that creep you out and everything, Sons of Anarchy can be disturbing at times. And I found myself that whenever I recorded it, I would always make sure I had a new episode of like The New Girl or something like that, just so I could watch that before I go to bed. They kind of ground me. They kind of get me back like, okay, yeah, Jake Johnson and Zooey Deschanel will bring me back to Earth. So this sounds like it's going to be similar.
There's a great show that was just on British TV, and again, is I think like 8-10 episodes called Broadchurch, which is a similar thing. It's about a kid that gets murdered. It's a horrible kind of. Anyway, last night I sat down to watch one of those, and I got 3 minutes in, and then I was like, I can't do this. So I just switched.
That's
it
two very different kind of shows. BBC has a show called Broadchurch. It sounds like the way you describe it would be something dark and detective oriented. And yet, if you turned it over to the people that made Married with Children, Broadchurch, bunch of chicks running a jar. They're talking about the
they're running a brothel out of that thing, starring Christina Applegate.
Yo, dude, I gotta go to. I'm going to Broadchurch. You know what I'm saying? All right, that's enough. Black Tie.
Wait, wasn't that the strip club in Married with Children that Al always went to?
Broadchurch. Watch it.
Him and Bud got into a fight at Broadchurch.
Oh, you're stupid. Yeah. All right, Black Tie. So we'll do another podcast this week. What's our plan? We'll keep doing podcasts in season.
Tuesday and Thursday. Podcast every week.
Rank mentioned New Girl. That reminds me, our old pal David Feeney, Feensters Union members, Daves of Thunder fans, rejoice because David Feeney's movie starring Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara just got greenlit. He's a big timer now. Yeah,
wow,
he won't take my calls any longer.
Really?
I bet.
No, he's transcended.
And Reese still has her spoon.
Didn't you take him to the Super Bowl one time?
I did. You know, you think that would be worth something?
Wow, that should have been a lifetime.
The high hat.
No matter how big he got, that should have been a lifetime friendship right there.
He's cut it off.
By the way, speaking of the New Girl, Jake Johnson, in that he's been on the show before. He's a Bears fan. Mm-hmm. In the show, which is based in Los Angeles, his character is a Bulls fan. And I don't like that. I don't like when actors like Jim Belushi's famous for this, of like, he's got to play a Bears fan in his TV. Like, look, you're an actor. You pretend to be a Cowboys fan. Jake Johnson, you're an actor based in a show in L.A., You pretend to be a Lakers fan. Like, how hard is that for you to do?
I get it. I hear your noise. And yet, if I were ever cast in anything...
You'd have to be a Steelers fan.
I would have to be a Steelers fan. You'd have, no, you got to pretend to be a Tennessee Titans fan.
What?
Well, then I walk. Then,
what
go,
if it
then
was
go get Brad Pitt.
What if
go
it was
get Jake Gyllenhaal, if that's what you
you're
want.
You're in the reboot of Good Morning Miami. you're taking over Mark Feuenstein's role, and they say you got to be a Dolphin. I don't know, but you got to be
what
a Dolphin.
Asinine reference. Good morning, Miami. Wouldn't that make it a half season on Fox about 16 years ago? No one has any idea what that show is. I defy anyone. Well, I did watch it.
16 years
Mark
ago?
Mark Feuenstein or whatever.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago.
I think
was
it was
a
while
maybe a
ago.
Decade?
I don't know. I don't remember when it was on. I do remember liking the girl, though. Ashley
Williams?
Ashley Williams, the sister.
The sister of the girl from
Kimberly Williams from According to Jim.
It all comes full circle.
It works out, Black Tie. See?
I think there's much else to do here, but call it a day.
What a creep. All right, Black Tie. We'll see to your demands. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. Thanks to Michael X. Bennett, Handsome Hank, and Adam Rank, and thanks to you. We'll be back, like I say, with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.